Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, we lost to some really good team last week, and you know, a couple teams we just didn't play our best game. Obviously in two of the last three. So we got to get back to the basics and the little things and make sure we're cleaning up the small stuff so it doesn't become big stuff. But I don't think there's any lack of confidence in our belief we can win there if we have to.
That's Aaron Rodgers on his belief that the Packers can go back to San Francisco, a place that was a spot of misery this past weekend. We'll talk about it right now as Ben Fennell joins Tim Allen and myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, on the Wendy's Big Show, Black Friday edition. Ben Fennell joins us each and every week from a different location. Ben, where are you getting ready for some college football this weekend?
I'm down here at Columbia, South Carolina, Sterling Sharp, Robert Brooks, old stomping ground. We have Clemson, South Carolina, tomorrow, 12 noon on ESPN. Should be a fun one.
That is a good one. Mm-hmm. A lot of NFL talent on those sides for you. So you get a little bit of double dosing. You can do your regular day job for Saturdays on the call, but also forecast in for who might be the best guys to look for in the NFL draft here in 2020, huh?
Oh, we're always looking ahead to the draft, and you know, we're always getting excited about who's coming down the pipe next. And South Carolina and Clemson are certainly, there's no shortage of NFL talent on these rosters.
Ben, what were your biggest takeaways and what went wrong early? To me, the game on Sunday night in San Francisco got away right out of the gates. And the fumble, the momentum shifts that you have when you can score right one play off of a turnover, those snowballs and avalanches can kind of just keep running. And the game quickly got out of hand than it really should have. But Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur both talked about getting into their game plan a little bit quicker to get Aaron Jones the football. What did you see were the biggest mistakes coaching-wise and game-plan-wise, getting him the football and getting the offense going?
Well, like you were saying, that opening drive turnover and turning to immediate points for the other team immediately throws your game plan out the window. But I just wish it hadn't. And I was just a little bit disappointed that the offense and the game plan and the scheme was just a little bit bland. It was a little bit boring. Every third and fourth down, they ran out of the same 11 personnel set. Almost every passing set was a wide formation, meaning they have receivers outside the numbers on both sides rather than condensing the formation or using any sort of bunches or stacks or just mixing up the personnel groupings or featuring Aaron Jones in the pass game like we've seen throughout several games this year, whether it was the Dallas game or the Kansas City game where he had over 150 yards receiving. So I was just a little bit disappointed that after the bye week, having 2 weeks off to kind of prepare and self-scout and look at what you're doing and the things you've been doing well and the things you want to continue doing, I just felt like the offense went back to kind of a stale and static game plan last week. Now, obviously, the game didn't start how they had anticipated, but I felt like the 23-0 score at halftime, it was still, the game was within reach, and it was just a couple of big plays. Obviously, the short field gave them points early. The big play at the end of the first half gave San Fran a pretty easy score there, but I never felt like the game was completely out of reach despite the score.
Well, and we've been talking about the NFC the last hour or so, and it begs the question, is it more of an indictment on that Packers offense, or is it just a credit to that San Francisco 49ers defense? Because the numbers say that they're a really good defense. So which is it, and what did we learn from this?
Yeah, you know, not to take anything away from San Francisco. They have a bunch of quarterback killers on that D-line with Bosa and DeForest Buckner, and they have a bunch of playmakers in the secondary. But I felt like they're still beatable. They aren't some powerhouse juggernaut that you are going to put up 40, 50 points on you and hold you under 10 points every week. I think they have some deficiencies on the defense, and I wish the Packers stuck with running the football, trying to establish the run game, move the line of scrimmage, and then work out some calculated shots off of play action and not allowing their defensive linemen to just pin their ears back and hunt Aaron Rodgers on, you know, second and third and long situations. So I thought LaFleur could have done some different things with offensive play calling, balance, maybe moving the launch point for Aaron Rodgers a little bit more than he had. I know he tried to work in some play action boots away from Nick Bosa, but I just felt like the game was still within reach. He didn't have to completely throw out the game plan and throw out the rushing attack despite the first couple drives maybe not clicking.
You follow his film breakdowns online at BenFennel_NFL, and he joins us here on Football Fridays, Wendy's Big Show, around 2:48. Ben, you mentioned it. I don't believe that 49ers team is unbeatable, especially come playoff football. You saw the Seattle Seahawks do it there on Monday night at their place. I think the Seahawks right now still, to me, are the best team in the NFC. But do you see anybody in this NFC right now as that freight train team that's just going to take it off the sheet? Because last night, once again, the New Orleans Saints showcased that doesn't appear they're that team either.
No, I think everybody's beatable on any given Sunday, and it's just going to come down to who's playing their best football down the stretches of December and into January, who's the healthiest of that time period, and who's clicking. And that's really what we've seen over the NFL the last 5 to 10 years. It may not necessarily be the best team that's winning these Super Bowls, but it's the team that's entering the playoffs with the most momentum, the healthiest team, and that team that's really hitting their stride late into the season. I know a lot of things can kind of go haywire into September and October, especially the way the training camp and preseasons have been cut down. So there's always that bit of growing pains early in the season. This is the time of the year that we're starting to figure out who's for real and who's not, who has the true identity and who maybe had a little bit of fool's gold to start the season. So right now the Packers are 8-3 and they still have a great chance to be contenders in the NFC. They have 5 games left, a pretty easy 5 games, in my opinion. So I think they just need to buckle down, get healthy, and get back to business.
Well, and that leads me to the New York Giants this Sunday. And they're all beat up, and they've been known to struggle here this year, obviously. But what has to happen for you to say that, okay, the Packers now graduated a little bit higher in the NFC? If they just simply blow out the Giants, well, of course, that's what they're supposed to do. But inside of that, what would the film have to tell you that the Packers are now, as Billy said, the freight train maybe in the NFC?
Well, certainly these next couple games are going to have that trap game written all over it with teams they really should beat. And like you just said, you know, you have to handle your business against these teams that are a little bit lesser competition, especially late into the season. Don't let one of these teams really ruin your playoff hopes or your seeding hopes. I've been throwing the ball down the field. I just think they need to execute much better. I think receivers were open in instances. I think Rodgers held the ball in some instances. Everybody needs to look at themselves and say, I need to do my job. I can't do the job of the player next to me or to the receiver on the other end. Even Aaron Rodgers, he has to do his job as a facilitator of the football and not just say, you know what, maybe my guys aren't getting open. That's not his job to get his receivers open. It's his job to make the right reads on the defensive coverages and deliver the ball accurately and on time. I think everybody just needs to look at themselves and do their job first and foremost.
So, Ben, in with that in mind, Aaron Rodgers, it's not his job to make guys open, and I agree with you. He's got to take advantage of the open opportunities that are there, though. We had a lot of conversations early in the offseason as well and early into the season of Aaron Rodgers taking more of what the defense is giving him. Have you seen that part of his game maturing here into 2019 under LaFleur?
You know, and this is the frustrating aspect about Aaron Rodgers and the frustrating aspect of just evaluating and assessing the Green Bay Packers is that you see flashes of it and then you see it go away. And that's the frustrating aspect of it. In the Dallas game, you saw him get the ball out quickly to checkdowns, and then you saw Aaron Jones make guys miss in the open field. And, you know, against the Oakland Raiders, he had a cover zero blitz. He got the ball out right away, 75-yard touchdown to Valdes-Scantling. So I think he needs to get back to beating defenses with his arm and not his leg. When he sees a little bit of pressure or a little bit of color in his face, you need to use your arm to get out of trouble, not your leg. And any quarterback that has any sort of success over 35 years old, whether it's Breeze, Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, they play from the pocket first and foremost and are a facilitator first and foremost. And I just want Aaron Rodgers to go back to being a pocket passing assassin, because I know he can be. He has the most gifted arm on the planet, and I know he can do it. He just needs to trust himself and trust his teammates.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem, Ben. I mean, let's face it. I think it's got to be a balance here between what LaFleur eventually wants to do, given the right weapons, and what Aaron is and has been good at. I understand the age, what you're saying, Ben. I do. But you have to balance this thing out. You do realize we can hear all day long what these guys say about their teammates and the accolades that MVS is going to get open and Lazard is this and Geronimo is this. The reality is they're not. That's where we're at here. So wouldn't that then being said, wouldn't you allow a little of that playground sort of feel for Aaron Rodgers just temporarily until LaFleur gets some better weapons?
Now, my concern with that is, and he's certainly blessed us with numerous plays out of structure throughout his career, and he's almost earned a get-out-of-jail-free card to do anything he wants improvisationally or out of structure. The issue is, coming off of the injury from last year, entering the twilight of his career, he doesn't have that sort of athleticism anymore, that extra dimension with his foot speed to break the pocket and just be an athlete. But he does still have the right arm, and he does still have the intelligence. I want him to use his mind like the way Drew Brees does and Tom Brady does, and he carves up opposing defenses because there's nothing he hasn't seen. He knows where to go with the football. He can't control the talent of his receivers. He can't control if they're getting open. But Aaron Rodgers can make them better with his accuracy, like we saw in Geronimo Allison catching that beautiful touchdown week one against the Bears, or guys like Alan Lazard or Valdez Scantling. Aaron Rodgers can get them the ball. They all have ability. They obviously lack a certain level of talent. The positions need to be upgraded. I don't think that's any secret or surprise from anybody in the Packer circles. But, you know, it's such a fine line of, you know, Aaron Rodgers having to trust his teammates and do his job and to not try to compensate and overcompensate for maybe the lack of talent on the outside. You know, so it's a really fine line. And when I start to think about the Packers offense and you say, you know what? What do they need to get back to? What's their bread and butter? What do they hold their hat on? What can they rely on down the stretch of the season? And that, what I really don't know. What is their identity? I thought they were going to be a pound the ball, move the line of scrimmage, establish the run, and take some more calculated shots off of play action. But then all of a sudden, you see a few games where you abandon the run, and Rodgers is throwing the ball 40 times again, and he's holding onto the ball, and he's not being decisive. So, you know, I get a little bit confused on exactly what their identity is. What does Matt LaFleur think this team does the best? I would have said it's, you know what, let's run the ball and let's feed guys like Aaron Jones. But coming off 2 weeks off and it's a bye week and Aaron Jones wasn't featured, it's just a little bit concerning to say, What is this team's identity? What do they think is the best part of this offense to hold their hat on?
No doubt. Well said.
It's so confusing, Ben, and it's frustrating, too, just to watch because you see the talent on the field that you can be utilizing and then other guys getting more opportunities than just allowing all the playmakers on the field to be able to take advantage of their skill sets. Last thing for you here, and we'll cut you loose. We know you got to get back to work. How big do you believe the talent gap between the Green Bay Packers offensively, like you were just saying, and the rest of the NFC really is?
You know, that's a great question. As far as the skilled players?
Yes.
Outside of Davante Adams and Aaron Jones, and I mean no disrespect to anybody else, I literally think you could hit reset on every other skilled player on that field, whether it's Geronimo Allison, Jimmy Graham, Mercedes Lewis, Jake Kumerow, Darius Shepard, Valdez Scantling, Jamal Williams. Some of them are great guys off the field. Some of them have produced on the field. But this team is lacking serious talent, speed, playmaking at the skill player position. And when you're looking at Aaron Rodgers being 35 years old and suddenly he needs to be that much more of a facilitator and offense doesn't have to be so hard, let's let some of these explosive playmakers do the hard work for us, I think this team needs more of those players. And let me tell you, this 2020 NFL draft is the draft to reload and do it because it's really, really deep at the receiver position, all different shapes, sizes, speeds, all over the field. So I hope the Packers can survive 2019. It didn't seem like they thought they needed to upgrade any positions around the trade deadline or over in the summer in training camp. So I obviously think the skill players need to be upgraded, but I think we are where we are for 2019, and this is who we have.
It's going to be fun, man. My definitely my favorite one coming out for where the Packers should be drafting, Henry Ruggs. You'll be able to see him in the Iron Bowl coming up tomorrow. And with that speed that they have combination, man, there are some really, really talented players coming out. Ben, enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy the game on Sunday, the full slate of NFL. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
That's Ben Fennell. You follow his film breakdowns of the Green Bay Packers at Ben Fennell _NFL. Dude just tells it like it is.
Can we just let's have a Plucker over here cut out that piece of audio. I want to hear that again. I want to see if Packer fans agree with that.
With
the laundry list of players that he talked about. I got to hear it again. I do.
And I got to hear your belief on it after you hear it again, because the wheels are turning in the mind of the franchise, and I'm excited to hear where you end up on that as well.
Yeah, huh.
That's Tim Alley, the franchise. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Touch. We're in for the Wendy's Big Show here today, all the way through to 6 o'clock. We're back on Monday with all the boys live out at the Toy Drive, the 13th annual fan charity Toy Drive, benefiting Children's Wisconsin along with Robin Nest. It comes up all week long, 6 to 6, extended hours on Tuesday, as Tim Alley, the franchise, will be debuting the 2020 version, even though it still is 2019, of Hot Stove Weekly with
Paul Wagner. He's going to join us in a lot to talk about in Brewerland, for sure.
That's no doubt. And we also still have to squeeze in a little bit of Brewers talk. I know it's a football Friday, but we got to get back to it. How big do you believe the talent gap is in the NFC? Ben Fennell thinks it's drastic. Mm. Tim Alley wants to hear it one more time. We're back straight ahead, breaking down Packers and Giants with you on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.